SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching this, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Best start of your day now officially underway. It is Tuesday, it's February 25th. It's Donnie, it's Kevin, JP behind the wheels of steel. Topics galore here. The Combine, Kevin, officially opening here in Indianapolis. We're not going to have too many workouts, obviously, early in the week. I think it comes Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at that point. But players making it known they're not working out, and rightfully so. But it always starts to, like, you know, get between. I get very upset about this week because I can't even believe it's still a thing in the NFL. It's like, hey, you know what? I mean, get this guy in here and bench press. Only did 12, expected 14, drop him to a couple picks here. Or, ooh, that three-cone drill didn't look good. I know Ashton Jeanty is very good, but that three-cone drill really has a pencil, you know, in my ear right now. By the way, it is Combine Week. Do you like Combine Week? Because I know people love it. I can't stand it.
I think it's very odd that we still, like, I don't know, like Shedeur Sanders, right, announces he won't be throwing, but he'll be interviewing.
Yes.
And I saw some people who were low on Shedeur, right? Be like, well, yeah, I don't blame him for not wanting to throw against his peers. It's like, that's not what's going on. Like, that's not what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about? Like, but I don't know, it's so odd because we do the pro days. They all feel meaningless to me. I don't know. Like, it just all, again, like the only thing I want out of a pro day, honestly, is to be flown around the country and let me and Donnie give real commentary.
Yes,
on
correct.
You know what? Bring Lisi too. Bring Lisi too, and we'll do.
Everybody to LSU quarterbacks. Yep.
Sending me. I don't know. He has been sending me tweets about how the Saints might draft Garrett Nussmeier in 2026. LSU's. Not this draft. Not this draft. Next year. I mean, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
Already lining them up. By the way, next year's CFT on Saturday, is it going to be all Nussmeier'd up all week? Like, what's going to happen during that? Who's the team? Who's the look-ahead team already? Because it's not Oklahoma State, no more for Lisi. It's got to be somebody else now.
Well, it's always Texas Tech. It's always LSU. Lisi's got a couple.
He's buried last night on Texas Tech.
Who was he? He was on Florida State and he was on Kansas. What did Kansas even do last night? I actually didn't see the result of that game.
They covered. They won by 9, I think. I think it was like mid 6 or 7, something like that. They definitely did pick up the cover at that point. But also, starting out here again on football, because you're starting to see some of the general managers and coaches speaking at the Combine. And you know, it's a lightning rod every time Joe Shane is now taking the mic and start talking about, just like he did today, wouldn't mind taking a shot on a quarterback.
What's wrong with that? Yeah. What's wrong with that from Joe Shane? What do you mean?
Sort of on, like, who's the beat writer for the Giants that pops up in my timeline? So his quote was, I want to take like a swing. Like, I don't mind swings at quarterbacks. Like, even like veteran guys, like apparently alluding to Matthew Stafford. So, of course, I tweeted a meme in there that was a baseball player, Major League Baseball, striking out with his helmet falling off at the same time. Like, that's Joe Shane, like, swinging for, let me get a quarterback in here. But now we hear the optics of Matthew Stafford saying, I want $50-plus million a year. And that's why the Rams are doing their due diligence, because if they can find a place where it's like, hey, by the way, Giants are willing to give him $52.5 million, and the Giants are willing to give him their top five pick in the draft, go ahead and then they maybe make that move, as opposed to let's renegotiate.
But here's the big thing. And one of us is going to be very annoyed at the result of this Stafford thing, because either I'm not going to get the player movement that I enjoy, or a deal is going to be done that Donnie can't comprehend. And again, I say that not begrudgingly, because I like, logically, this doesn't make any sense. Like, Stafford is not going to command a first round pick unless the team is drafting in the bottom 10. Like, it will be not the third pick from the Giants, Donnie. They would get the 34th or fifth pick they probably have. Like, they're not getting the top three pick. If he goes to the Raiders, they're not getting sixth overall.
Like, didn't you know how he like, if you took Matthew Stafford and in a different world, he goes, you know what? I just don't want to be here and I'll renegotiate and I'll play at $10 million a year. The Giants might be like, you know what? First round pick, top five, you have it. I get a quarterback for 5 years probably that's going to play at a good level at $10 million a year. It's like a rookie contract here. But the fact that you're going to make that move and he's going to be like, you know what? The only reason I'm coming here is because I want money and it's $50+ million, which then brings into effect like the Rams, who again, I think are doing their due diligence by saying, we don't think you're worth 50. We know you want 50. If there's like a trade that's even like marginal where that team's going to pay you $50 million, we might just move you because we don't want to sign you or have you unhappy and sabotage our team and we move on. The question always is who you move on to. Because I know there's people out here and I can't even believe it. Like Matthew Stafford, at least when you watch him, like operating in the pocket, you're saying to yourself, right? It's like, you know what? He still looks like he has the goods. Like, I don't care what the numbers were for Aaron Rodgers. When I saw him like in the pocket last, like he just isn't the same Aaron Rodgers and he's only getting older. So moving off of Stafford is interesting, but do you think somebody's going to give him $50 million a year that's not 100%. The Rams, Stafford?
100%, yeah.
Who would, though?
I think the Giants would. I think the Giants and Raiders both would. I do. I think the Giants and Raiders, specifically the Vegas Raiders, Donnie. Donnie, when they brought in Pete Carroll, I told you this. They are not, I am not disagreeing with you that the Raiders being bad is a bad idea or is a good idea.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's what they're trying to do. When I saw that Tom Brady was going to get Ben Johnson in the room, like, man, this is interesting. And then that struck out and went, all right, never mind, just get Pete Carroll in here. And it's like, whoa, what's the MO? And I think the MO is we just want to win football games. I don't think Brady's interested in anything other than that. And they're going to bring Stafford and they're going to tell themselves, why not? Right? The division put three teams in the playoffs. They're going to tell themselves that, listen, we get a quarterback that can compete. We're going to be right in the mix. Which, like, if I told you, Donnie, they get Stafford, don't you think that win total is going to be 8.5? Maybe higher?
For who?
The Raiders.
I don't know. They're so depleted everywhere. They really are. Like, again, and Matthew Stafford, we weren't talking about a 50-touchdown performance out of Stafford this year through 20 touchdowns. Who I do think, obviously, is a marginal upgrade from whoever they're going to get or think they're going to get in the draft and or just playing on, you know, Aiden O'Connell at this point. But sometimes I just look and I say, this is where the owners have to step in because the owners can't get fired. And no matter what they do, like the Raiders are a horrible franchise, top to bottom. They have been for decades. They print money like water. So sometimes they have to step in, Kevin, for me and say, you know what, Tom, we're not getting Stafford. And I'm sorry to my new head coach, Pete Carroll, who wants to win. That's not the design here. Our design is I want sustained winning, which means by the time you're out of here, Pete, in 3 years, I think we can have a 500 record or better for the next decade because of the foundation you put in with the quarterback and the structure that we're going to have. Mm-hmm. Like the Giants, the fact that Mara stands up there and is like, I should have fired my head coach and my GM and got a fresh slate and told those guys, build this thing in your mind and we'll revisit this in 3 to 4 years. But now you know what Joe Shane's doing? Like, well, if I want to stay in New York, I better win. I know this is never going to bring us a championship, but if I get Stafford, and I go from 5 wins to 8, boy, I can sell that to the owner. I should be back again next year. And the owner is stupid enough to fall for that. That's why I look at Stafford. Now, the only team I would say like is in a little bit different situation would be, let's just say, the Steelers. Because I think the Steelers, even though I don't think it gives them a championship, they're in win-now mode. The Giants are not in win-now mode. The Raiders are not in win-now mode. That's just the way I play it out because people go into self-preservation modes, and rightfully so. That's the human like instinct. Like, hey, how do I save my job? Get Stafford. We won't do a damn thing, but I'll win more games than I did last year, and I can sell that.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying about the owner stepping in, but it for Joe Shane, Donnie, Stafford probably is the right move, right? Like, ultimately,
no.
For Pete Carroll, Stafford is probably the right move.
Oh, well, Daniel Jones in Pittsburgh, not the right move here. But I got something that the NFL wants to ban. And ain't banning it, people. We'll be back. It's Donnie and Kevin right here on Moneyline on Tuesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's your boy, DRSN.
Well, it is game time decisions.
No, a little bit early for GTD. It's going to get fired up, ready to go, pulling a little rips there and having fun. But I tell you what's not funny right now, Kevin. It's one team in the NFL that's like, man, we got a quarterback that just can't do things that other quarterbacks can do, like take a snap and fall forward for a yard. So we are so upset at this. And this team beat us twice this year, and we never want to see it again. It's the tush push in Philadelphia. Now, granted, people around the NFL have differentiating, you know, feelings on should the tush push be banned or not. And I always land on this. Is it an interesting play, to say the least? Yes, it is. But everybody in the NFL, Kevin, has the ability to do the tush push. Every time fourth and one comes up on the goal line, you can do it as well. The fact that the angst comes from some of the teams that can't do it. And I, you know me, I like to take things to the extreme. Can you imagine? Let's just go back 10 years. Steph Curry is lighting the world on the fire from three. And one team goes, we can't shoot nearly as good as this guy. Can you take the three-pointer out of the game? Because what he's doing is bastardizing the three-point line, and we can't do that. And the NBA goes, you can pull up at the three-point line anytime you want, as make as many as you want. And you go, no. We can't do it as well because that's not the way we drafted. So it's unfair for them to draft a pure shooter from the three-point line. Like, that's how stupid it is. So the before we get into, like, yes, yeah. Like the concept of the tush push for you, banned or not, is what?
Yeah, I think these teams are absolutely pathetic. I think the conversation around it is actually even more pathetic from those that break down the game. You know, the Green Bay Packers at minimum can give any reason they want, but if it's trying to gain a competitive edge over the Super Bowl champions, you maybe tip your cap. And again, you see this is embarrassing. You're a bunch of losers. But those that try and break this down and be like, well, listen, it's, you know, this isn't football. Listen to me, you buffoons. When Tom Brady used to quarterback sneak, was that a football play to you? When you watched Brady QB sneak, did you feel like you were like, oh, what a play? No. Not once. And here's the other thing about a quarterback. Forget the tush push, Donnie. When a QB sneak is ran, does anybody ever expect it to fail?
To not work. Correct.
Yes. Doesn't exist. No. Right? The New Heights podcast, the Kelsey brothers, the 92 percenters, they call it, because it works 92% of the time when you QB sneak. The beauty of the tush push is not how good the Eagles are at. It's that the Eagles are so good at it, every team everywhere thought we have to try and do that, as opposed to doing the always never fails tush QB sneak that they could have just kept doing. Yes. But again, this is foolish. Honestly, I'll say this. My NBA analogy is actually not even the three-point shot. It's the dunk. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the first time someone dunked. And they were like, whoa. Can't dunk. It's like, yes, you can. Well. No, but that's not basketball. That's not basketball dunking. What are you talking about? It's not basketball. That doesn't make any sense. You sound, let's be honest, stupid. Because that's what people... Again, I've heard, well, what if the Eagles get so good at the tush push, they could pick up 4 yards? Shut up! Nobody does that! What are you doing? You know what? Tap your mic out. Come back next segment and break down the Chiefs. Break down the Ravens. Go to the NBA to figure something else out. You don't know what you're talking about. You're lost.
Now, I don't know how deep like this is going to go, because I'm going to get real upset when I read you a next ruling, because whenever the offseason begins, the competition committee meets and it drives me up a wall. Like the tush push itself, like it might take a diabolical team like the Packers. Like, you know, in college football, it's like, hey, you know what? They can never enforce this. Team likes to go fast. Just, I'm going to point to one of my players on the field. You drop immediately as if you got a cramp. They somehow can't enforce it, even though we all know they're lying. It's like, okay, that's a way to, you know, slow down the process. When they talk about in the NFL, the reason why they mistake plays for, like, you know, the kickoff. Well, why can't we have the kickoff anymore? Well, these guys are running fast and colliding with their heads, and we've done surveys that show 32% more concussions happen on the kickoff than any other play in football. All right, how do we get rid of that? And I'm not saying you can fake concussions, but just injuries. Like every time the Eagles have a tush push, just somebody fake an injury on the field. Like, I hurt my leg, I hurt my knee, I hurt my shoulder, I hurt my head, and just say, okay, well, that's six plays in the game where somebody got injured. Like, it sort of goes into the statistics. If you remember back in the day when they were trying to hurt Schilling of the, what was it, the Diamondbacks at that time, where they were doing like the steroid testing and the players union didn't want it. Like, okay, well, we're going to test every team, and if you take it and we're under like 5%, we'll just do away with it. Like, there's no need to test anymore. But Schilling was so upset about the 5 percenters, like the Barry Bonds of the world. He told his team, like, let's all just not test because it goes as a negative and just like completely circumvented the system. But he knew what he was doing at the time to try to get the test positives, the false test to be up there. So they start to, test even more. That's the only way, Kevin. It looks like that's the way it's going to be taken away. Now,
but here's the part I wanted
to, go ahead. Because I'm going to take a little next segment. Yeah.
Just the injury thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because some might say, no, look, it is dangerous. Look what happened to Chris Jones in the Super Bowl. Steve Spagnuolo's spent 2 weeks putting in, hey, Chris Jones, lay on all fours and try and hope they can't move forward. And Cam Jurgens told the story on the Green Light podcast that he could not stop laughing, said, buddy, that's not going to work. You're about to go for a ride. And they sent that dude into outer space and broke his neck on the first tush push of the game. So I don't want to hear it. That was a terrible move by Spags, Chris Jones, and they got what was coming to him.
Like, because I was trying to understand the philosophy of that, because I was thinking, like, you know what? Chris Jones is an animal. Like,
he's so big.
Just like, is he on an angle where he just tries to take Jurgens out sideways and, like, you can't move? But the fact that it was, like, hike, and we're just going to, like, your force as a lineman is, like, going forward, like, at somebody.
Right.
Like,
I'm just going to,
like, hold the tide here by, like, sideways, like I'm stopping a flood, like the flood water's coming down, and they just peeled you into the end zone midway through it, and then your head hurt right away.
Yes, yes. And then he was looking for the team chiropractor the rest of the game. I'm telling you, if you see, Jurgens is like, buddy, that is not going to work. I can't believe, like 2 weeks of install. Like, Spags is like, I'm telling you, listen, we shut down Josh Allen and the Bills, Eagles, same thing. Chris Jones, do me a favor. Lay like a dog in front of the football. Coach, no, trust me, man. It'll work. And then they were practicing it all week with Carson Wentz in at quarterback because Mahomes isn't allowed to run QB sneaks because his ankle went side or his kneecap went sideways once.
Like the divider on like a turnpike expressway. Like he's like, you know, be that in the middle. Like, yeah, man, you up and hit me with the goalpost with it. Touchdown, Eagles. By the way, I've got anger coming up to make things around.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The UFL, Kevin. You want to talk a little UFL right here?
No, is it back?
Yeah, well, I guess it is back for another season. And we could talk TGL. That thing's flaming out fast. Down like, you know, massive in ratings, but that's not even the point right now. Me just playing on leagues and millionaires losing money always is my favorite Ponzi scheme. But the UFL, Kevin, which the NFL will pay attention to, just like the XFL, and say, you know what? Some of these rule changes are quite interesting, and maybe you try it out, and if it works, we can implement it. Case in point, the new kickoff rules in the NFL, which I don't mind. I really don't. Kick in the end zone, get the ball at the 30, return it. Returns are a little bit more fun than they used to be. I don't mind it at all. I think we were pretty astonished, like opening night, like, wait a second. Everybody's just kicking the ball out of the back of the end zone. They could give a damn about the extra 5 yards. I thought it was interesting to watch. As the season progressed, I don't think anybody out there was like, because again, yes, we want the old kickoff back. I don't mind this one. I really did. But the rule that's going to get me like over the edge, and when I say like the benefit for the losing team, like I never understand the NBA. Bang, 3-point shot. We did it, man. We did it. We're up one with a half second to go. And the other team goes, watch this. Timeout. Now we get a free 3-point shot. They're like, wait a second. That's not fair. All right. Well, the NBA does. It's one of the worst rules in sports. So as you start to flip over and say, okay, you see baseball. I love the rule changes that we made in baseball for me, right? You have the DH. You have the shift taken away, the bigger bases. You can't throw it to first a million times. And if you bring a reliever in, there's got to be at least for 3 batters. But that's both sides of the equation all times of the game, right? It's like, okay, well, nobody really has an advantage. And we're not saying, hey, you know what, Kevin? You know it'd be great for the Yankees. In the bottom of the ninth inning, they're down a run. Ah, damn it. Judge just struck out in the eighth inning. Timeout. Boone comes out, tells the umpire. Judge is going to bat right here. And I go, okay, that's your one chance. You can put your best player in right now to try to win the baseball game. The other team's like, I don't understand. Like, this doesn't make sense. So, as I pontificate into the NFL, this is the worst one I've seen. If the NFL even deems go near this, I will lose my mind. So, once again, Kevin, You're down 10 points in a game. Drive the length of the field, minute and a half to go, you throw a touchdown pass. And the NFL goes, now, okay, well, you were down 10, you scored a touchdown. We're going to give you a play that's 5% chance of you getting the football back. And that's the way it should be, because why? One team is winning, they should get the benefit of the doubt. You can maybe steal a game, but boy, those odds are low. The UFL now, Kevin, is talking about, instead of the onside kick, fourth and 12. Fourth and 12.
Yeah.
And I saw that, and I like, because I know where the NFL is talking, like fourth and maybe a little bit longer, like 15 or more, and I'm losing my mind. Like, for me, if you want to bastardize the game like this, fourth and 40, and you cannot get an automatic first down due to defensive penalty. You want that? I'll play it out. Basically, a Hail Mary. If you get it, you keep the football. Kevin, help me. I mean, please. I will lose my mind, because I know the NFL, oh, hey, man, these fans are young and stupid, and sometimes at the end of the game, they need excitement. I will lose my mind at this.
Yeah, I don't think anybody needs excitement. If a game is over, a game is over.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Like, when you win, you win. Not every game is close. That's okay. And fourth and 12, I legitimately expect to be picked up. Fourth and 15, like, there just will be a penalty. And to be honest with you, like, fourth and 30, people go, this is dumb. Because every time a fourth and 30 gets picked up, it'll be because of a penalty. And when it doesn't get picked up, we'll be like, that was such a waste of time. Why did we just do that? Why did we just watch that? Ugh. If you are, as the NFL, upset that your onside kicks aren't suspenseful, well, then stop putting in rules that made it already impossible play harder.
Correct.
Like, it's funny, as I was
never
even...
before the you know, advancement of, hey, look, we're trying to get player safety. Like, the onside kick was not ultra productive, but you always felt like, if anybody even goes back to the 90s or early 2000s when you're playing high school or college football, it was a very suspenseful play for even the guys trying to catch the football, like myself. Like, this is actually tougher than it is. You got guys who are designed for the first four guys to blow up your front line like it's a war at this point. Like, you guys are just going to break up that wall. The second three guys go in there like a missile at the guy trying to catch the football, and the last two guys try to recover the scraps, which hopefully is a fumble at that point. Like, I never had an issue with that. Like, at the end of the game, like, hey, onside kick's coming up. You're on the edge of your seat, whether or not you had to cover a spread or win the football game or try to come back and win it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Again, just go back to the... So let's say an onside kick is currently 4%. Go back to the rules that allowed it to be like 9%. That's fine.
Yes.
There's no reason for Mahomes to be on the field for a 4th and 20. It is ridiculous. That is so ridiculous.
They're going to look at the 4th and 12. Like, man, that's excitement. A lot of you boneheads out there be like, you know what? I agree at that point. Yeah. No longer can you bet sides in the NFL because of that. What's coming forward? Oh, my goodness. Talk about that and much more coming up next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back at it here. Having some fun on a Tuesday. Nice little college basketball card tonight. Nice little card last night. You know, Kevin's laughing over there. What do you got?
Come on. Tweet. It was just a tweet. I'll send it to you, but I'm not going to read it. But it made me laugh.
Is it from anybody we know?
No, actually. No, it's like one of those just like mean things. Did you see that the Prairie View A&M 3-point stuff? Mm. Did you see this?
No.
Like, their PA announcer was like, 4-3. You got to watch it during the break. You'll love it because you'll be able to pull the audio up. You can play it for the people. That's what they were doing in like an empty gym when Prairie View A&M was banging threes out against Mississippi.
By the way, if you do follow on Twitter at times, because again, Saturday had a clean handicap of them. Also, Mississippi Valley State last night, who was with the road team against Prairie View. Two really bad basketball teams, 17.5, absolute gift of the gods. Like, I saw the Kevin tweet come up with my son and say, you know what? This is like the Super Bowl for Mississippi Valley State, a team they actually might be able to play with. 64-56, absolutely perfect scenario from a weekend game where they scored like 36 points. I mean, this team is a lot of fun, but their Twitter account also, Kevin, if you go over it, like a couple of the, like they get waxed on the daily, and it'll be like Mississippi Valley State, like 48, and the other team doesn't have a score. It just says, played a good game, like good stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they mess around, they have fun, they understand it.
But I'm not positive. I think that Twitter account might not be affiliated with the actual program because I don't think the program, Donnie, actually tweets because of how bad things are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where I feel. Let me see.
It looked official, though, when I went to it the other day. Just wanted to check out what they had going on at that point.
It says in quotes, it says unofficial, though. But it's, I don't know, it's verified. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because they're not really poking fun. They're just like, hey, man, we're not bad, but let's have some fun on the season, like with a couple of the stuff they send out. But they are every bit as bad as you would think. Like, it's hard. Like,
they don't have even the worst offense.
Yeah, that would have the worst offense and defense in the country on the same team. It's like, well, there's only six teams in the country. Like, no. Like 360 or whatever they are. It's unbelievable.
Wait, keep going. Let me just make sure I can play this. I'm going to mute quickly.
All right, Kev's checking it out right now. I'll play a little music for him. Hold on. Let's see. Let's see what he gets back. Kev's on the ticker. He's going.
Hey! All right, ready? This is how it sounded when someone made a three in that game last night.
Go ahead. Let's go. It's just echoing off the chairs at that point. Like, nobody
in an empty gym.
The player's going like this, like while they're knocking it down.
Hitting the guitar. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Killing it out there in the streets. Killing it out there. But by the way, yesterday, you did have some good basketball in college basketball. I went with the public yesterday because I thought it was the right move. Houston 69, Texas Tech 61. Most of the day yesterday, -1.5. That ballooned all the way up to -4 by game time. Didn't matter. Houston won. And I was handicapping that game early on and, you know, checking the injury reports. I'd noticed that, again, Texas Tech's best three-point shooter was not going to play in this game. And that's the way I had Texas Tech beating Houston. So I said, all right, that kid's not going to play. I think Houston's the right side. And it won. Let me ask you this question, too, because Houston is awesome. But do we get upset or worried Houston heading into conference basketball play? It used to be like, well, come on, man, playing the American. Like, show up. They're actually going to play real competition. No, they play real competition this year. They win a lot of close games, but if you're looking for a tempo, it's not them, which always leaves up in the air, Kevin, right? Well, if you limit the possessions, that gives the other team a chance to stay around because if you are, let's just say, number one team in the country and your offensive efficiency is tremendous, like it's Houston, but you go fast, like, wait a second. They're going to play 80 possessions a game when Houston would play, let's just say, 60, which leaves a lot in between. Are you worried at all about Houston? Because it's really an unfair question. It's like, well, wait a second. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody can get knocked off against six good teams or seven good teams in seven games in the tournament. We get that. But their style of play, Virginia-esque, not necessarily, but you leave yourself open there.
It has similarities, but they are, I don't know, they're stronger, they're more physical, they're longer. They just, to me, Donnie, they are not a team that walks onto the court with a 16 seed and it's even a game. They're up 20 at the, you know, five at the break of these games. And
like 32-10 at the break.
And here's what you just kind of hit on. And it's actually, no matter how much credit you give them, you can't give them enough credit. Because they spent those years in the American, and it was pretty easy to be like, not battle-tested. Like, Donnie, they've been in the Big 12 for 2 years, and they've won the Big 12 twice. Yep. That's ridiculous. That shouldn't even be possible. Like, they have one loss in the Big 12. The Big 12 is it's not the SEC.
Yeah.
But it's the second best conference, would you say, Donnie, in the country?
Oh, yes. If you're going for the past decade, they've been the best basketball conference. But this year, the SEC gets the nod, but they're right there still. The depth is still there.
They have one loss.
Yes.
And again, like, I know they've, you know, they've pulled out some crazy
OT.
Ones.
It was OT.
By one in overtime. I mean, they have four losses on the year. Three of them are in overtime, and the other one was the second game of the season. The Auburn
team
of the year.
The best team. Yep.
But like, so to me, I look at, I look at Houston, and it's very odd how this worked. It was not a team I wanted to bet coming into the year, but I've just continued to add free bets. I'm now more invested in them than my actual preseason pick of Duke. because the Duke numbers move. Like, they're, you know, again, you got a $10 free bet. You put it on Duke at plus 450. All right. I mean, that's not really, you know, moving things around a lot, right? But Donnie, you're still saying, I mean, let me see if the if Houston move it. They're going to get on the one line is my thing.
Mm-hmm.
They are. Here's the problem, though. You understand this stuff a little bit better than me. One of the things that's odd is it feels like all the one seeds, Donnie, are going to be from a comparable area, if that makes any sense. Like, we have no West Coast teams, mm-hmm. not even any real East Coast teams fighting for...
Don't worry about Gonzaga.
Yeah.
UCLA's, Oregon's.
Like, what is it, Donnie? It goes South, Midwest, East, West. Is that how that goes, the regions?
Yeah.
So they'll put what? Auburn in the South?
Yes, if they're the top. Put Duke in the Northeast, probably.
Well, that's what, like, yeah, like, would Duke go east because they have such a following here, or would Duke go to the Midwest?
No,
is that Duke where they're going to put, like,
yeah, Duke, like Barclays Center, The Rock, and the Newark. Like, I don't know where the East, Boston, like, they would be in that bracket. Worst case, that's where they would stay.
And then, like, if you're Florida, Donna, you end up on the West. Like, that's where you're going to be.
Yeah,
you know, that's a little odd. San Antonio this year.
Far away from your home, but you're hoping for that easier stretch. But I was like, because the SEC, like Joe Lenardi, we're talking about updated his bracketology today.
Yeah.
Like teams that can be on the one line and who they're expecting, like ins and outs at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, I looked at Alabama and their schedule, like their final, and this they've already played some of them, their final seven games on their slate, Kevin. Number one, mm-hmm. Auburn. Number 15, Missouri. Number 17, Kentucky. Tonight, number 24, Mississippi State. Tennessee, number 5. Florida, number 3. Auburn, number 1. There's the remaining three games after the Mississippi State game. So they played basically the gauntlet of all gauntlets because they were trying to ask, well, who's going to get that one seed? Well, how the hell could it be Alabama? Like, if Alabama goes 2-2, it's like, that is a miracle. So there's no way I don't think they can get to that one line where maybe Florida can stay. But the reason is, like, 13 out of 16 teams expected to make it out of the SEC. I don't know if I've ever seen something like that. You expect the ACC, like, hey, we got 14 teams in the league and like seven make, like, wow, that's incredible. 13 out of 16? Unbelievable.
And people will say, how could you possibly do that? The SEC slaughtered everyone they played out of conference. Mm-hmm. They did the SEC-ACC challenge, and the only wins, I think, were Kentucky beating Auburn at home and Duke beating Auburn at home and Clemson beating Kentucky at home. I think it was like 13-2 or something ridiculous.
March 2nd, this weekend, people. March 2nd.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Luka Doncic tonight exacting revenge against the Mavericks. Finally played a good game his last time out. Kevin said he was thinking he was looking a little svelte out there on the season.
So he is, though.
Got there in shape? Do we have side-by-side? Were you looking at side-by-side? Or was it the Harden ones? Like, Harden looked like he was about to, you know, have a baby, and then the next day lost all the weight.
What a beast. The best part is, like, Harden is now just, like, quietly hoops in L.A., like, doing well. Nobody has any beef with Harden. Yep. He's living a good life out there.
Ben Simmons chilling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ben Simmons is, he must be the happiest he's ever been, or at least in a long time.
What's his, he's no longer on the Sixers, like, big contract. Look, somebody's still paying, like, did he re-up?
Well, because it was a buyout, and so whatever he's being paid by the Clippers is, like he'll be a free agent.
Because that was where he got the big money from the Sixers. Did somebody else give him money after the Sixers?
No, I don't think so, but my point is he got bought out. So I think he's like a free agent now, and he got, you know, he signed with the Clippers. Like, he didn't get traded to the Clippers. You see what I'm saying?
He probably signed
like a minimum deal. He'll just play there for the rest of the season. I
just want to see where he's at.
He's always wanted to get to L.A.
Yeah, he must be on the because the Clippers are paying him $1 million.
Yeah.
And that's on the hook this year for $39 million. So I'm assuming that was from his... Oh, okay, Sixer here we go. No, actually, I don't. Let's see. So he came.
No way. The Nets never gave him $40 million. That's he was never saying. Good for the Nets.
So his contract extension looks like it kicked in like right when he went to his last year of the Sixers. It was $37 million. Then 38, 37. Yeah, so that was this is the final year of the Sixers deal that he has. Yeah, so he's probably just like, you know what, I'm getting paid and I'll go to a good spot. They're going to pay me a veteran minimum and away you do it. But I can't wait. Like, now he's going to get paid again next year. Somebody's going to be like, you know what, this guy can play a little bit, $15, $20 million a year.
Maybe, but I think he's also, you know this from even when he was like playing well, like people were like, he wants to be in LA. Like, he's just one of those guys kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think it might be like Harden-esque, Kawhi-esque. Like the Clippers have this like, it's not a retirement home, but it's almost just like, you just come here. Well, yeah, we'll play basketball. You know, no more spotlight. Like, if we win, great. Like nobody thought we'd win, but if we lose, no one cares. We'll pay you good money. Like, I got a new arena. Like, that's what the Clippers are this year. Nobody, it's all just like, wow, cool. Like, Kawhi, Donnie still never plays, and nobody cares. Nobody
sat out last night again, got beat.
Yeah,
no Norm Powell got beat.
Doesn't matter. Harden's having the time of his life.
I want to ask you a question on this one. Never before have I been more right. We talked about on the show yesterday on the early line and money line. How the Sixers were favored last night against the Chicago Bulls. Like some things I just look at and say, the computers are wrong and nobody wants to make adjustments to it. Sixers opened up as a 3.5-point favorite yesterday. Game time closing, -5.5. Sixers down 50 in the fourth quarter. Maxie played, George played. Yeah. The only guy in the lineup was Joel Embiid, which he's been out of the lineup quite a bit. They were down 50 at home to a horrendous basketball team.
I didn't understand that. Like, so I put down the Sixers as a watch game. It was 4.5, and I thought that was a we think everyone's going to play number. And I was like, I'll be interested, like, if they get some absences, like, dream scenario, Maxi by himself, lay, you know, -114 on a money line play. I was like, at the time, that went up to 6.5. I was like, what's happening? And it really is kind of, you know, where it's like, oh, yeah, they're the sharp side now. It's like, I don't... Mm-hmm. I'm not following that. That was no good. I'll tell you, the Hornets.
Yeah,
I don't know if any team has ever, you know, they beat the Lakers, and they sent out a tweet, something special about this team, and they were celebrating in the locker room like they had just clinched the postseason. Donnie, they turned off after that. They've lost their last two games by nearly a combined 100 points.
Like, we don't want
to. I mean,
like, the Sixers are
insane.
We got to stay as low as we can on the totem pole. They lost the fourth quarter yesterday, 42-16.
Yeah.
They got beat 130-88. That's how bad they got dropped on. I'll tell you the surprise yesterday is that T-Wolves Thunder game. You know, it's about one of the best defensive teams in the NBA, one of the best home teams in the NBA. And they lose 41-19 in the fourth quarter just to get to OT and then lose to the Timberwolves yesterday, which is incredible. One of those great back to backs between the same two teams in two different cities. We always love how that works out. SGA 39-10-8. Looks like he's wrapping up the MVP conversation. But that one, to me, I like the over. That was the way I went before the game. But I didn't think the Thunder were going to lose that game by any way, stretch, form.
I was on Minnesota. And I was like, if Ant plays well, they can win it outright.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those rare situations where you end up correct, but also dead wrong. Like, they went on a run so good with the bench unit. Ant didn't check in until like 2 minutes left in overtime. He didn't play. He wasn't playing. It was incredible to watch. I was just trying to get a cover on a 12.5 number. I didn't actually think that was how that was going to go. You see what I just sent you? I see you smiling.
Yeah.
Pretty
was that
good.
You that sent it to me.
Yeah.
You sent that. Cause I was freaking.
I sent it. Okay. No, I sent it because that is, but again, like, so looks like he's over at Bovada now, football. Getting action now.
I mean, football. Is that the account? I'm reading some of the comments under here. Like, this guy, Chinito, says Justin Fields could be dynamic fit for the Rams offense. Like, is that Lisi's burner? Did we find that Chinito, Joe Lisi? Be a terrible move, by the way. And if anybody isn't paying attention here, Kevin sent me ML Football on Twitter. The Rams have the second-best odds to sign quarterback Justin Fields if he leaves Pittsburgh, per Bovada official. Fields is 25 years old. Fields is a major dual threat and could be a dynamic or could be dynamic in Los Angeles. No, he can't. Why would he be dynamic? He's never been dynamic in any situation he's ever been in.
He had a 3-week window. He had a 3-week window where he was awesome for the Bears, and like that's it pretty much. But I don't really is Fields gonna be it's very young for this, but is he just gonna be the guy that as is he a backup quarterback or like every year when he gets signed, like, you think he starts? Like, it's very odd.
Yeah. But here's the funny part about it too, is you look and it's like, please happen. Because we will never have a better time next year in Pro Football Today where Joe bets every single Rams game and every single over. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline. One more segment to go on a Tuesday afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment. Look how quick that hour goes. The best hour of your day always goes fast here. Duke Miami tonight, Evan. I mean, how's that feel? How's that tickle the fancy tonight? Florida Georgia. A little get money. There you go. A little music for you.
What's the Cooper Flagg points prop? Because he didn't have a huge, huge, huge game at the Garden. And we know Miami can't. You know, that's actually a good question for you, DRS. Yeah. Just in your – do you remember a team at the power level like Miami having a defense that lowly rated? Yeah, is their defense still like outside of the top 300?
Let's go. Yeah, the fall off for Miami, pretty wild this year. Let's see. Let me go to Miami's true stats on the year. 335.
Donnie.
And 18th out of 18 in the ACC. What are we looking at? What do we need to look at?
335 overall from an ACC defense? I mean, does that even sound right?
Man, let me just see this right now. Let me see this. So you got Duke's out. Now, see, because the first thing I go to is like style. Like, forget about like how many shots Duke makes at the three-point line or how they can defend it. Like, I like styles that make fights, right? If you have a team second in the ACC in Duke that likes to shoot the three-point shot with volume, 13th out of 18 at letting you shoot it, that's Miami. Then you dip into them and go like, well, some teams shoot a lot of threes, Kevin, shoot 28% from the floor. Duke, best in the ACC, close to 40%. You know who also gives up 40% from three-point range as a team on defense? It's Miami. Like, when you just look at that and say, it is going to be absolute bombs away. But also, like, you want to strip it over to Duke's defense? Like, a team total under Miami even makes sense. Like, Miami doesn't like to use the three-point line to their advantage. 17th out of 18th at actually making the three-point shot. And then you say, okay, well, let's mess around with Duke because they're a bad three-point shooting team. So it correlates to they score more points inside the arc because they can't make any three-point shots. Mm-hmm. So they're actually second in conference play at 55% of the total points coming from inside the arc. But then Duke is 12th out of 18 at like defending inside the arc, which is good. Like if it was number one, that's the worst team. Well, so theoretically, the points are going to be a struggle. Like Miami is 16th in the conference at getting to the free throw line. Duke is 4th at fouling, which means they don't foul that much. Miami doesn't rebound at all. 15th out of 18th on offense. Duke's defense, 2nd in conference play at rebounding. It's one of those games that you look at and say, which way would you want to go? Duke's offense, where you get nervous late in the game because they have 5 bench warmers in with 6 minutes to go and you still need 12 points? Or is it like, no matter what, Miami is not going to score against Duke?
Yeah, I think taking what all your breakdown there and then kind of where my head was at, Cooper Flagg for 2 made threes.
Yes.
You can find a plus price out there.
How about Khan? How about Khan dropping triples?
Conan.
He hasn't actually seen as he did to start the season, though. He's 1-for-2 last game, 3-for-6 the week before, 1-for-3, 0-for-3.
Plus 124 to make 3. Yeah, but Donnie, did you see what he did against Miami? Kind of to prove your breakdown, did you see what he did against Miami earlier this year?
How much they do? He scored 89 to 54. He might have a carbon copy. Yeah, he went what? 6-of-8 from 3. It's 6-of-8
from 3. 25 points. He's
knocking it down.
So, that's
what got Zion James. What's he doing these days? I'm signing 2-for-5 last game for 3. How do you feel? And also coming off of that Illinois game, it's an absolute hammer job. So because I don't want to say Duke falls asleep because you can't fall asleep against a horrible defense. Like guys light up. Like this is going to be a fun game. Like we're in Miami. We're going to put a show on. But at the same time, the defense usually always travels.
So first half over maybe.
Way, but
first half total 71.5 maybe. you know, Duke gets out there, maybe they score.
They have a Duke first half team total?
Yeah, 42 and a half.
Shoo. Shoo. 42. That's Shoo. Crazy. Man. You watch games, it's like, hey, you know what? You have a team total of like 78. It's like, you know, they got 36 in the first half. That was a really good half. 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have like 45 on the board, which again, you could see 45 to like 19 as Duke's like, all right, let's take the second half off. Which then when you see those, it's like, why don't I just take the first half? Because the second half is now just up in smoke.
86 and a half, 87 and a half for the full game team total. I mean, it's no joke, man.
Yeah.
It's no joke. Again,
you're probably not even going to get that push at that point. You know what I mean? That's what makes it tough because Miami's not going to be like 4 points behind. You don't think like, hey, you know what? That last 2 minutes, we're scoring at least 10 points in the front of 2 minutes.
It's a great point. But that's, you're coming off of this Illinois game where the game was over for the whole game and they scored 110.
Correct.
I mean, yeah. They were having the time of their lives out there.
I got to tell you, I thought I was watching like a video game remake of the guy off the bench point guard that hit the step back triple.
Yeah.
When I first saw it at a quarter mile, I was like, did somebody like just AI image this game and just put a funny guy on the court? Like, how's that guy dropping triples in a major game?
Yeah. That might be his last career make. It's a three at the Garden. If I were him, I would never shoot again at the college level.
That'll do it. Look at that. Tuesday afternoon, Sports Grid Network coming up next for JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie right side. And Kevin Walsh, thanks for tuning in to the best hour of your day. Anyway.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.